supplymybusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Jobsinkent.com.
RIFT Research and Development. Reuniting innovators and business tax credits. RIFTResearch.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk, on ChannelRadio.co.uk and 107.9 FM. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, the 6th of October, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serking, and a packed lineup of lovely, lovely guests in the studio today. And we have had loads more tweets while we've been playing a bit of pulp there.
Yeah, I do like Jarvis Cocker. That's a great song because I love the way it revs up that.
Yeah.
You know Kent Invicta Chamber?
Never heard of them.
You might have done. They have an after-hours club, and they've got guest speaker, our lovely Adrian Kearney from AK Pet Service.
Oh, cool.
I wonder if he's talking about looking after doglets in Bonfire Night and that.
I'm sure he is.
Probably is, yeah.
Yeah, and what he does, because he does transport dogs and all sorts of pets. Even if you had some sort of cockatoo, he would get it from A to B for you.
Probably one called Samson as well.
Possibly. But there's no booking required for this, and the address is Dickens World, Leviathan Way.
Leviathan Way.
Are you some sort of Roman? Because you're the right age. Chatham Maritime in Kent, and the...
She's so hurtful.
Sat-nav is ME4, 4L for Lion, L for Lion. And it's on the 20th of October, so it's a diary date, with the fabulous Adrian Kearney, who'll be telling you all about his AK Pet Service. You can follow Adrian on the Twitter. It's AK Pet Services. And make sure that you retweet him, because he's an all-round lovely fella. That's kentinvictorchamber.co.uk for details.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from We Love Kent, or We Heart Kent is their Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And they say, we've tuned in and are listening to Vanilla Webb and her, Jill Serkin, on the Business Bunker today, listening to Linda from the Chamber and Jane from Rift Accounting. So thank you for joining us and listening in.
And despite his Invicta Chamber breakfast, Terry Rofi is looking very slim in a pink shirt, has said, "Hi, Jules, we do supply key safes, normally for clients to fit themselves. Let me know where Mummy is to see if we can fit for her. If he pops down with his drill, then I'll take him out for Prosecco."
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
What's not to like?
Sorted.
Another job sourced by the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Alex Waterton. Haven't heard from Alex
for a while, actually.
He's
been extremely busy.
He has.
I spoke to him about my database.
He says, "Good afternoon."
Yeah.
"Good afternoon, Business Bunker," he says. "Just tuned in after a bout of Office 2013 training." So, nice one, Alex. And that's Alex from F Keys. Who's a certified Microsoft trainer. So thank you for that. And he's also saying, "Oh, by the way, Vanilla, can you give a big shout out for I54 New Media? They're a video production team for great ideas and for meeting on Sunday." They're having a meeting on Sunday with I54 New Media for a new F Keys marketing video.
Okay.
We shall wait with bated breath for that.
We will.
Oh, talking about videos.
Yeah,
the gorgeous Zoe Cairns,
yeah,
who is one part of the team that's organising Get Social, which we're going to be talking about later, has requested that me and you do a vlog.
Oh yeah, what's the vlog? It's a live video,
a video blog, yeah.
Chatting, sort of, like a blog, but on video.
I said we would, but I wouldn't get a word in edgeways, and she said, "No, I understand."
Why doesn't she just take the Tales from Turkey one? That was good. That was our finest moment.
Yeah, well, I think she wants us to talk about Get Social rather than donkey cheese.
Well,
possibly, but
it went down a storm, that, on YouTube, didn't it?
It certainly did, yeah.
Maybe she had both.
Yeah.
When are we doing it?
I don't know. Sometime.
Well, you'll need to get
sometime
your hair,
later today.
You'll need to get your hair done.
She's so funny, isn't she? Not. We've had a tweet from another new listener, GJ Recruit, on the Twitter, GJ Recruitment, and it says, "Hi, first time listening to the Business Bunker. So far, so good." Thank you for that. If you have any chefs listening, I'll be keen to hear from them. And they can call me on 01634, that's Medway, 01634, 386435. I'm assuming that GJ Recruitment specialises in catering, is what I'm assuming.
Jobs in Kent, there you are.
Yeah, but I mean, he's after chefs, so.
Well, Scoff and Quaff, of course. If he goes on to Scoff and Quaff, at Scoff Quaff, we'll retweet that.
Yep.
Which area was he in?
Medway.
Okay, but you do, on Jobs in Kent, you do quite a lot of catering.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But, so he could hook up with you.
Yeah, yeah. Supply My Business has replied and said, Jules, yes, it is. He's right. He is absolutely right. He's right. He's totally right. He's right. It's supplymybusiness.co.uk. He said I'm right.
And it's been duly tweeted out and done and lovely with hearts and bows. Listen, there's an East Kent B2B on Wednesday the 4th of November. It's at Discovery Park in Sandwich. It's 9 till 4. And it's, they're saying who should attend. So it's all successful and growing businesses that want to achieve the highest level of success. And you can learn from the experts, always the best speakers from around the UK and Europe, and a great way of meeting hundreds of new businesses in one day. There's a great show offer from 80 to 100 exhibitors at each event. And the hashtag for Twitter is hashtag B2B1000. Can we beat 921,352 unique businesses reached in our first Twitter challenge? Don't struggle with your social media. Come to one of our digi sessions running all day. Keynote speakers are Paul Andrews. Do you know him?
Never heard of him.
Zoe Cairns, Dan Mordhub, and Lizzie Mordhub. Hodgson. Mordhub.
Yeah.
And Lizzie Hodgson.
Mm-hmm.
Bookings are at bookings@kentinvictorchamber.co.uk. And again, it will be on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website.
Fantastic. Do you know what I'd like to do now?
I think we should talk to the lovely Jane Ollis.
I think we should talk to someone sensible.
I do.
I think it's that time again.
Enough of your
where
hair.
We introduce some decorum, intelligence, and some all-round good and useful information from someone that knows what they're talking about.
A lovely autumnal wardrobe, might I add.
You're taken with this, aren't you?
Yeah, I do like a little bit of autumnal.
Do you?
Mm.
Jane, it's a pleasure to welcome you back onto the Business Bunker Show. Jane Ollis, Managing Director of Rift Accounting, based over there in Ashford. Thank you so much for joining us once again on the Business Bunker Show. We haven't seen you for ages.
Well, she's been busy.
Pleasure to be here, as always, and lovely to see you, Paul and Jules.
Yeah.
And hear about all the great stuff happening in your local chamber.
Mm. So, what's happening in your world? There's loads of things happening over at Rift as well, is there not? And loads of things that you're involved in. Let's, and it's also, there's a couple of special things, I think, this week. Is it Customer Service Week or something?
It is National Customer Service Week.
Right.
And we're members of the Institute of Customer Service. That's something that is, you know, being a service industry is fundamental to everything we do.
Mm.
And this week, every day in Rift, there are all sorts of silly things happening across the business to not only celebrate customers, but for us to think about all the time, what is it that our customers are wanting? How are we solving problems for them? How are we anticipating their needs? How are we listening to what they're telling us about, you know, how it is to work with us? And so there's a daily schedule of activity, and that's to make sure that we never forget the customers are at the heart of our business and every business.
Absolutely. Do you know, it's one of those funny things that many years ago, I'm not going to go into this in great depth, you'll be pleased to know, but many years ago, I was involved with the Institute of Customer Service and a couple of other customer service type organisations because I used to train in customer service.
Here we go.
Hmm. And one of the interesting things is no matter what type of organisation you went into, if you went in and were providing training in customer service, but it wasn't ordered, you know, so people weren't told by management they had to go on it, it was very difficult to get people to sign up because it's one thing they go, I know how to do that. And you go, really? So why do you think they've spent vast amounts of money getting me in here if all of you know how to do it already? Why do you think that? Mm. And I go, nah, we know how to do customer service. And after all these years, it is still something we do badly, isn't it?
Mm.
And I was saying to Linda earlier, we never do negative stories on this station, but I have to say, I had an old style customer service failure yesterday. And I haven't had one of these for years. And it was a very, very large and very, very well-known organisation. I won't highlight
them.
Give us
a clue.
It was a technology-related company, and I'll use an anagram of their name.
Right.
TB.
Okay. Yeah, I've had my run-ins with TB as well.
Yeah. But what happened was I rang to speak to someone to return a call. And when the phone answered, it was an IVR box, interactive voice recording box, that you know, press one if you want to stick a pin in your eye, press two if you want to scream stupidly and all that kind of nonsense. Mm. It was one of the worst implementations of an IVR box I've come across. And it reminded me back in the day, 20 years ago, when they first came out, people used to make these kind of mistakes. And I thought everybody had got past that. But they hadn't. They were making every single mistake you could make by asking you closed questions, not giving you an option to bypass their menu,
yeah,
but not asking you the right question. Mm. All I was trying to do was return a phone call. Somebody left a message on my phone that says, can you call me back, please? And there was no option to do that.
It's hugely stressful and frustrating, that sort of thing.
Anyway, so, you know, I don't want to get
on to... But while you are ranting, Vodafone... Vodafone,
hideous. It's funny. It's all the comms companies that are really bad at comms, really, for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway, but customer service is crucially important, and we want to talk to Jane about what Rift are doing in that, and as part of their membership of ICS, and the fact that it's National Customer Service Week. Somebody once said to me as well, well, what's the best way of formulating a customer service department? And I said, you shouldn't have a customer service department. The entire point of your organisation is customer service. It's everyone. You don't. If you need a separate department for it, you've got a problem. That's just my view on it. But I want to hear what you guys have been up to, because I know what you guys are like. You guys do some really interesting stuff. And I want to hear what you've been doing.
Well, yesterday we started by having to find out things about our customers, so things that perhaps maybe weren't related to, you know, their business or what they were doing, so that we could show that we were, you know, engaging them and listening to what they had to say. And the funniest story that came out was one of our clients is expecting a child, and we started, you know, having fun talking about the innovating products that they might need. So it was about really listening and hearing. And every 2 hours, the best one was put up for an award, and there was a little prize happening around the office. So that was just loads of fun for everyone was there. Mm. This morning, we all had a piece of Lego on our desk when we arrived this morning. One piece of Lego, and then with each team, you had to then create something from your random pieces of Lego. And the object was looking internally at how you're supporting each other, because customer service isn't about just your external customers. Everyone in your office are in fact your customers.
So absolutely, yeah.
So how do you work with them? Mm. And we have some customer service ambassadors and ambassadoresses who are wandering around the office wearing little sashes.
Ah.
So it's very visual. There's loads of photos happening. Stuff, you know, you have to make it really visible. But the basic is, you know, customers at the end of the day pay your salary.
Yep.
And unless you really treasure that and value what you're doing. Our business is built on a lot of it, on word of mouth. So if we have a customer complaint, and that's happening this afternoon, customer complaint workshops running all afternoon, we sometimes mess up. And we had one customer, and we just set him up. Everything went wrong. He switched to us from another accountant.
This is the Mercury in retrograde. I told you, Jane. You'll be fine by Friday.
It just all went wrong. We set up their ClearBooks, which is the accounting software we use, and we put the wrong email address on, so it went off to another customer. Mm. You know, a whole cascade of things. And by the end of the week, the customer's like, why did I shift to you? So we just have to put our hands up and go, we really are sorry. We completely stuffed up with you. We did not meet your expectation. This is what we're doing to fix it. And so it's also being able to admit when you have just got it wrong. Mm.
Absolutely.
And then we looked at our own process, because this is one of our strengths. We're quite process-driven to actually make sure, are we designing everything from our processes, or are we actually designing this from what our customers want? And we've actually found that quite a tension, because we need processes to make sure, you know, we don't miss filing deadlines.
Yep.
Put your returns in on time. We do your VAT, all that stuff. Mm. So it has to be quite process driven. But sometimes we forget actually to communicate really well what we're doing with customers as we're going through that.
You're absolutely right. The thing is here, we all make mistakes. Yeah, we all get things wrong. We all have Mercury in retrograde sometime where things, you know, just go wrong. They just do. It isn't about getting everything right all the time. It's the biggest customer service point, and this is one of the things that I used to spend a lot of time trying to tell people, is how you put mistakes right. That's the customer service option. I used to give an example years and years and years ago. A bloke came into my office, and there's a double thing here. I worked in tech support, in the days before customer service had been discovered. But it was an internal organisation, but even so, you're right, Jane, customer service is internal. And I worked in tech support, and people used to wander into my office and ask me really daft questions about stuff. So I made a sign that went above my desk, and it just said RTFM on it. And people used to walk into my office and ask me a daft question, and I'd just point at the sign, and they go, "What's that? Read the flipping manual." So that was my efforts at customer service. But a guy came into my office one day, and he said, "Hey, look what happened to me." "What?" He said, "I bought a bar of Cadbury's Fruit and Nut, and when I opened it, there was a dead fly in it." He went, "Yeah," so I wrote to Cadbury's and complained, and they sent me this huge hamper of chocolates. And everybody went, "Oh, give us one, blah, 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 blah." Anyway, a few weeks later, a guy walked into my office and he went, "Bloody Cadbury's." I went, "What?" He went, I bought 7 bars of Fruit and Nut and there's no flies anywhere. I went, "Well, put your own ones in."
That's a great story.
Yeah. It's how you put it right. And the other thing that always strikes me about customer service is a lot of people feel intimidated by customers because a lot of people say the customer's always right. In reality, we know that's not true. Quite often, the customer's wrong. They just have the right to be wrong. Yeah. And my take on it is the customer's allowed to be wrong. It's our job to put them right in the best possible way without slating them for being wrong. You know, but if it becomes a fight, everyone loses. So it's interesting the kind of stuff that you were doing, you guys. And also one of the things that fascinates me, Jane, about Rift as an organisation, it's unusual for those kind of organisations to think about customers in the way that you do. Yeah, not least of which calling them customers, you know, because it's normally clients. And, you know, it's not necessarily just with accountants, but all professional service firms. There's a huge amount of changes going on in the marketplace. And some of the things that people used to do in lawyers and accountants and architects just don't cut the mustard anymore. We don't live in that kind of world any longer. So it's fascinating that those kind of things are happening. So, what else you got happening?
What else have got happening? Well, we've got a new and exciting event to talk about, mm-hmm. which is to go hopefully live tomorrow in terms of information out and about.
Right.
And that is a new event for Kent, because right. I've been chatting to my friend Paul Andrews here mm-hmm. about having an event where you don't have an agenda set.
Everybody's really, really kind
exciting.
Of worried about this. Worried is more of the term. They go, yeah, carry on. Let me steal your thunder.
Because there are fabulous events around and fabulous speakers.
Yeah.
But often the wisdom is sat in the audience and the knowledge and the stories are all in the audience. So
which is what we found to a large extent with Forging the Future, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep, so that was all really insightful. So we're going to try a brand new Kent experiment mm-hmm. during Global Entrepreneurship Week mm-hmm. On the 19th of November, partnering with Start My Biz mm-hmm. In Canterbury at mm-hmm. Cathedral Lodge, and we're going to run an Entrepreneurs Unconference.
An unconference. It's cool, isn't it?
It could be a complete disaster.
It could be.
Because we'll arrive and there will be no preset agenda. The agenda is formed by the delegates when you get there.
Yeah. Now, this is
very exciting.
This is really, well, I don't know, exciting is the word I'm using here.
It excites me, but I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, it's, this has massive potential to go in all kinds of directions, which is part of the point of it as well, of course. Just briefly, for those that don't hail from Southern California, let's give the listener a quick overview of really what an unconference is and where it came from.
An unconference is really simple. You create the agenda when you arrive. So you might say broadly, we want to look at these issues, and we're talking about challenges entrepreneurs have as they set up and grow their business. What stories have they got they're willing to share about how they created their marketplace, priced their product, delighted their customers, sourced their products, and they come being prepared to pitch that idea. Say, I would like to talk to you guys for 10 minutes about my experience doing X or Y. So they pitch that in front of everybody, and you know, put yellow stickies up on the board. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do it yet. And then you vote. Actually, we've only can run 10 breakout sessions in the day. Which are the top 10? and those 10 then get invited to speak. If you go along and start listening to Joe Bloggs talking about whatever, and he's dull, actually you get up out of the room and go to the next one. And the idea is that it has to be valuable. You have to walk away thinking, I really got some good connections. I really had some useful, practical stuff. Mm. Around that topic, and at the end we'll pull it all together. Paul and I will be facilitating the day, and then we'll be posting all of that, and the same way that we did for Forge the Future Lunch,
absolutely,
that we'll all go out and create some content. And we would just love entrepreneurs in Kent to come. It's free for the day, so it's been very kindly, generously supported by Start My Biz, and we hope that it will be exciting, new and fun.
Oh, it will be. It will be.
So where's the venue?
Cathedral Lodge.
The Cathedral Lodge.
And is it tomorrow?
No, it's on November the 19th.
November the 19th.
Which is part of Global Entrepreneurship Week, so it'll also be promoted widely on the Global Entrepreneurship Week website as well.
Absolutely. Jane's absolutely right. One of the things we found with the Forging the Future Lunch, which is a lunch we held for some 50-odd Kent entrepreneurs.
At Western Hanger
Castle. We had a fabulous day. But what was very quickly an eye-opener is that we had an agenda for that we wanted to talk about. But loads of interesting things came out, and we didn't have enough time to explore them all. And that's where a lot of the impetus for this has come from, that said, hold on a minute, if we keep telling people what we want to hear, that's all we're going to hear. Why don't we just ask them what they got to say and see where that takes us? And that's the exciting bit about this, because we're hoping that we're going to get some really insightful stuff that comes out from people to go, do you know that these are some of the things we're looking at? Because, you know, that's where we need to be. The world changes so rapidly nowadays, you can't keep up with everything. And this process of evolution is really endemic in everything we're doing, and we just don't focus on it. And just while I'm having a bit of a rant about that, I saw something posted the other day which really struck a spark with me, because it's something I've been trying to say for a long time. And somebody came on and they went, will you please give up with telling people to find a job they love? It's nonsense. And it is nonsense, because most people don't know what they love because they haven't experienced doing it, yeah? How does someone at school know what they want to do for the world of work when they've never been to work even? And they're absolutely right. And what this person was saying was, and I totally and utterly endorse what they're saying, is what you do is you dive into the world of work, and then you find things that gel with you or spark with you, and you go in that direction. And, you know, listening to Linda earlier, and I know from Jane's background and from our backgrounds, the longer you've been at work, the more things you do. You don't stick with one thing all the time. You learn. And therefore, what I'm hoping for from this unconference is a similar kind of process, that we get loads of things thrown up that we hadn't really thought about, or hadn't thought about in any depth, or we didn't know about, and we're going to get some really interesting topics come up.
Yeah.
It sounds like a real boots on the ground sort of experience. Yeah. And I think most people that run businesses, especially the ones we know in Kent and know and love, they've all had experiences, and we can all learn from it.
Absolutely.
You know, running your own business is the toughest thing you'll ever do.
The history of the Unconference, which is fairly new, is it was an outflowing from what's called a TEDx event originally in the United States.
In California.
Yeah, well, TED's evolving into TEDx. For those that don't know, the TED was a technology, entertainment, and digital, or whatever it stands for, design, which were big technology conferences. They then branched out into what's called a TEDx, which are small local events with people talking about those kind of things. And then the Unconference was invented from that, for exactly that reason. You know, somebody would get up and talk about technology, and everybody would go, but do you know about X, Y, and Z? And they go, no. Yeah. And then move the agenda on. So that's where the concept of an Unconference came from. We're really excited about this, aren't we?
We're going to have some fun.
We're going to have loads of fun with it. We'll put some blogs up on both the Rift site and the Business Bunker site afterwards with feedback about what happened. And we're going to let you know how you can come along and how you can participate and how you can get involved. But we want to hear from as many business people, and not just business people. We want, you know, it's National Entrepreneurs Week, and there are entrepreneurs in all walks and fields of life. So, you know, if you run a not-for-profit or a community organisation or whatever, we want you to come along.
Cool.
Fantastic. So, What else we got, Jane? We've got loads of things happening.
Yeah, the other really exciting thing that's happening in Kent, we're very lucky this is happening in Kent, is the National Women's Conference, which has been, which is the brainchild and of the lovely Hilary Steele. It's a new inaugural National Women's Conference. It's running on the 24th and 25th of October this month. Keynote speakers include the lovely Kelly Holmes.
Dame Kelly.
And I just think if you're out there as a lady who's thinking about setting up a business or already running a business and you want to come and be really inspired to get the right skills to really push you to your edge of your, I guess, comfort zone and beyond in terms of what you can do and meet other like-minded women, that is a must-come-to event. And the lovely Hilary has a very, very special offer for Business Bunker listeners, which is only open until 5 o'clock tomorrow, and that is a £100 discount off the entry price.
What is the entry price?
See, do you know what? I'm just going to double check that because I have that on my.
You can tell us later.
Okay,
we'll find out.
Go to legacyconference.co.uk for the details, and if you'd like to book today or tomorrow till 5 o'clock, just put bunker under the promotional box, which is on the booking page. If you've not been to an event that Hilary has run before, I cannot recommend it highly enough because she is herself, her own story, inspirational and what she's done with the businesses that she's run. So that's the 24th, 25th of October this month in Kent. We are very, very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Hilary's just tweeted that as well, so I've retweeted it. So do follow me or follow Hilary, Hilary J. Steele on the Twitter, and you can find out about the Legacy Conference and the special discount for Bunker listeners. You're absolutely right. Here's some stuff about ladies in business. In the UK, currently, we have 5.6 million businesses. We're the second most entrepreneurial nation on the planet these days, as measured in startup business terms. 88% of businesses are now surviving longer than a year. It's normally the first year that does for businesses. Over a third of all new businesses are being started by ladies. And currently, 80% of one-person businesses are female orientated. So the ladies have actually adopted entrepreneurialism and business in a huge, huge way, which is absolutely fantastic. We have a massive, massive amount in Kent of female entrepreneurs, really successful female entrepreneurs. We have Kent Women in Business magazine, which is Hilary's the editor of as well. We have the Women in Business show on this very radio channel. There are the Federation of Small Business have a lead, Deborah Turner, on women in business. So it's an area that has got a lot of traction, especially in this county. And this is going to be the icing on the cake, the Legacy Conference. And I think it's going to be a really smashing conference. So do get along to that. What was the date again, Joan?
The date of the 24th and the 25th of October.
Cool.
And the UN conference was November the 14th?
November the 19th. Thursday, yeah. November the 19th.
Okay. Yeah. Everything's on Thursday. It's amazing.
Thursday's a good day.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
Martin White is asking how do we register. So it will, Martin, be on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website and also on your Rift Accounting website?
It will. There'll be landing pages on all and the Start My Biz. And so it'll be very easy to find. And we just... just be so excited if people booked on and just gave their time and their energy and their ideas.
Brilliant. So Martin White will be there.
Hilary's
Thank you, Martin.
Yeah.
Our first delegate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We can stop now. There's three of us. Martin's going to do all the talking and Jane and I are going to take notes.
Yes.
Hilary's just tweeted. She said the normal ticket price is £250, but of course you get a huge discount if you use the term bunker and you book by 5 o'clock tonight. So save yourself half the money.
The lovely Diana Dupre is listening in Victor IP on the Twitter, and she says, have only just joined in and busy preparing for Manuelec Expo, Manufacturing Expo, but on their Twitter it's Manuelec Expo, tomorrow at the Kent Event Centre. So see you all there, she says.
Cool. Can you read another one?
I can. I've just had a new follower, which is Great Comp Garden. And she says, hi, Jules Serkin, would you, or I'm assuming it's a she, it might not be. She says, would you like to enter our Twitter poetry competition from the bunker, which is their bunker?
The boy stood on the burning deck, picking his, like, no, go on.
I think it's got to be a little bit unique. National Poetry Day, so there's a hashtag National Poetry Day. They want 140 characters, including the hashtag Autumn Ode. And so that is, if you're interested in that, it's a delightfully quirky garden and plantsman's delight set around a 17th century manor house close to Sevenoaks in Kent, as seen on BBC Gardener's World. So it's greatcompgarden.co.uk, their little website there. And, yeah, it's a poetry competition, National Poetry Day, and the hashtag will be Autumn Ode.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from the barrister broker, lovely Russell Burton Lawrence.
He's listening on the train.
He says, I'm on the train, guys, listening in. So, and he says, great show as always. So thank you for that, Russell. Blimey, we've got things coming in thick and fast here. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read an email while you get yourself sorted out.
I've finished all mine.
Well, you can't have done. We haven't done the news yet.
Well, I've finished all mine apart from the news.
Yeah, don't try and blag me, woman, I know.
You know, when you do a little news break, then I'll start on those.
Oh, will you? Yeah. We'll dig out some more tweets because there's loads there.
Yeah.
The business community breakfast meeting this Thursday. I've been on holiday for a week again.
Who's this?
Says Colin.
Ah. Oh.
So this is a late reminder that we meet this Thursday at 7:30 a.m. at the Honourable Pilot for another relaxed breakfast where we swap notes and check out how we as a business community can help each other and gain business. The more the merrier. It's still only £8.75 for as much breakfast as you can eat.
There's a challenge.
Yeah. See you Thursday. Best wishes, Colin. That's Colin Brown. And you can email your to book your place, colin@businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. My phone keeps going off.
I know. It vibrating or something.
No, it's vibrating. But what it is somebody rang earlier and left a message, and 121 wants to tell me what the message is. So it keeps re-ringing me every few minutes.
Oh, which, I don't have that on my phone anymore.
I wish I didn't either.
No, get rid of it.
Claire Reeves has just reminded me, but I already read it out, Claire. Ha 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 ha.
I just retweeted that as well, so it's going
about
mad.
The Sheffield forecast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll retweet that. But we did give it a read out earlier, Claire. Honest.
Yeah.
Cool.
We've mentioned Terry Rofe, we've mentioned Cheryl Baker, haven't we, and Supply My Beers.
We have indeed.
Venom Tech, we know that one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Miriam McGirt, we've mentioned her having a little lunch.
Yeah.
In Turkey, no doubt.
Yep. So, do you know what we're going to do now?
What are we going to do?
I'm going to tell you.
A little segue.
Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio News Update, Jules.
Would you like me to start, Paul Andrews?
I would.
Okay. FSB Kent and Medway, they have a regional AGM and all are invited.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thursday, October the 15th, 6 to 8 p.m. It's at the Tudor Park Marriott Hotel, Ashford Road, Bearsted, in Maidstone. The sat-nav, if you want to write it down, is M for Mother, E for Egbert, 14, 4, N for Norman and Q for Queen. You can join your fellow FSB members to hear about the past year's activity and vote in a new regional team to represent you from 2015 to October 2016. You can find the link on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show, or you can go to the Eventbrite/FSB-Kent and Medway to find that. But it is on the October the 15th, 6 to 8 p.m., there are some FSB events. They are 9th of October coming up. Of course, this is the one that Paul and I were talking about earlier. This is going to be quite an exciting one. It's Canterbury Business Breakfast at the Spitfire Ground in Canterbury. We'll be hearing from Canterbury City Council's leader about support and advice for businesses. And the lovely Paul Andrews will be there talking about flexible office space. As you know, listener, he does own Fruitworks, which is a very successful office hot desk, I call it, networking space in the heart of Canterbury. So he'll be talking about that. We'll also be gathering information about this proposed local development, Fannington Park. You can book your place now by going on to...
It's Kent a free event as well.
Yeah, free event. And there's breakfast, I think, as well, isn't there? Nibbles. Or
Yes.
But the most exciting thing from my point of view with the food is that I deal with is that there is going to be this scope for a brand new high street. So not only is there going to be a new primary school, there's going to be a care home, there's going to be a park
hospice.
And ride, hospice, a park and ride into Canterbury. There'll be obviously brilliant cycle paths, 5 minutes or 10 minutes max into Canterbury. But the chance for shopkeepers and businesses to start up. So I was talking to Binny, you know, my friend Binny that's got Budgeons.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's looking forward to opening a fish and chip shop there.
Blimey.
How nice is that? So he's completely changing what he does.
Absolutely.
Pharmacy. I've got a pharmacist who's interested in going. So anyone that's interested, and what they're looking for is they want to put the infrastructure in, a little bit like you were doing with the Ebbsfleet development. So the infrastructure will be for getting into Canterbury, maybe not using a car, but you can drop your child off at primary school and perhaps work in these in the offices there as well. But also a covered market is planned. So a little bit like the Good Shed in Canterbury, where you'll get lots of different Kent producers. So please come along. It's 9th of October. See me there and Paul Andrews, and also lots of other Kent businesses. So it's 9th of October. It's at the Spitfire Ground, Canterbury. You can park there, can't you? It's quite,
yeah, you can.
Quite good
yeah.
parking.
Yeah, it's county cricket ground. Yeah.
Maybe play a little bit of cricket while you're there. 15th of October, we've got the FSB Regional AGM and call for nominations, and that's at the Tudor Marriott in Maidstone. And they'll be talking about volunteering roles as well there.
You need as many people there as possible.
We're going back to the first one, or the second
No, the Federation of Small Business annual general meeting.
Yep.
FSB Kent and Medway is a pioneer region in nationally in terms of a new structure for how they're going about organising what they do. And at the new AGM, there are going to be a number of positions, voluntary positions, that they want members to volunteer for to focus on different aspects of what's going on in the county. So like women in business is one that's currently, the position is held by Deb Turner, and presumably she'll carry on doing that as long as the members vote her in, and there's no reason why they shouldn't.
Yeah.
There's also other positions focusing on different aspects. And one of the big things, excuse me, that the FSB is very keen on, the FSB commissioned a major survey, which was actually done by the, it was a national survey, but it was actually done by the University of Greenwich. Professor Vic, I can't remember his surname, he did a massive survey on skills and what small businesses wanted from skills.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome of that report was really, really scary if you work in education.
Right, in what way?
Because 96% of the respondents said they couldn't care less about school qualifications or skills training. They've had enough. Basically, what they need is attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Without the right attitude, nobody's going anywhere. They can provide the training. They just want the right attitude from the young people coming into the world of work. Then they will provide the training in-house. That was the outcome of that. So what the FSB are trying to do is to build a link between business and education.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people have been trying to do that over the years. You know, schools and colleges and universities try womanfully and manfully to bring things together.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't always easy. Excuse me. So what the FSB are doing is trying to make that happen by saying to businesses, it's no good moaning if you don't get involved with education.
And tell us what you want.
And tell us what you want, and tell them what you want. And also give people opportunities. It's no good moaning at kids that they don't have a work attitude if they've never had any work.
Mm.
How are they going to learn? They need to learn. So you need to give them work experience. You need to do things. So we're trying to pull that together. So one of the positions on offer there is for someone to lead on the interface between youth employment and education and other things. So there are 10 positions that are going to be voted on. So do go along if you're a member of the FSB and vote on that.
Very, very important that. So it is, just to recap, the 15th of October at the Tudor Marriott in Maidstone.
Mm.
And they're saying that, you know, come and help vote in the new team to represent your business interests over the next 12 months.
Absolutely. There's a call for evidence has been issued on tips, gratuities, cover and service charges.
About time.
It's one of those areas, one of those black areas. And with the government having suddenly, on a whim, decided to increase everybody's wages, we won't even go there, but there is on the Kent Business Radio website, there is a blog provided by the Federation of Small Business as of a survey of their members and their members' concerns about the way that this has been handled,
and some of the potential problems that some businesses in some areas have with this. You can go and read that on the Kent Business Radio website. But outside of that, there's a call for evidence based on tips, gratuities, cover and service charges. The government has issued a call for evidence on tips, gratuities, cover and service charges following public concerns raised about the treatment of such payments in the hospitality sector, particularly in relation to the percentage of each payment that goes directly to the employer.
Some of the chains, especially.
The call for evidence aims to gather information on tips, gratuities, cover and service charges left by customers and are collected on current practice as to whether and how much employers deduct from their employees. The government also wishes to ensure greater transparency, and it will therefore additionally consider whether there is any action that can be taken to ensure that employers do not withhold tips from anything other than the costs to the employer of administering credit card or payroll-based transactions. Whilst the focus is on the hospitality sector, the government would also like to hear from the employers and workers in other sectors where tipping is common, such as hairdressing, casinos, private car hire. The government will then assess the evidence collected and propose any further action to ensure fair and transparent practice in relation to tips, gratuities, cover and service charges. As the law currently stands, there are no requirements for employers to pass on the gratuities or their service charges to their employees where they are paid directly to the employer, for example, on a credit or a debit card. But consumer protection law requires that customers should not be misled as to the way service charges are applied and distributed. Cash tips given directly should belong to the employee, not the employer, quite right. There's a code of practice in place in this area, but this is voluntary. Tips, gratuities, cover and service charges do not count towards the national minimum wage, and that has what has caused a lot of the controversy here.
Yeah.
So therefore, you need to think through your policies a bit clearer before you implement them, I would suggest. But that's just me being political. The deadline for responses to the call for evidence is the 10th of November. If you want any more info on this, and I suggest you do need to get involved in this because it's a big minefield and it needs to be sorted out. Mm. You know, employees need to be treated properly, and there's no doubt about that. And we need to understand the best way of handling this. If you want to find out more, go to www.fsblegalinfo.org.uk. fsblegalinfo.org.uk.
Just breaking in from the news section, we've had a lovely ADM Computing who are listening in, and they say IT support, and we're listening in Canterbury and enjoying the show. So big hello. Give them a follow at ADM Computing. They'll help you with everything there.
Back to the news. A new immigration bill proposes tougher sanctions for employing illegal workers. A new immigration bill will contain a range of new powers to deter people from trying to find work here illegally and measures to deal more effectively with the businesses who offer them employment. This will include powers to close down businesses up to 48 hours, those businesses suspected of employing illegal immigrants, while they prove that the proper right to work checks have been conducted on staff. So let me clarify this. If you are suspected of employing people that aren't qualified or allowed to work here under the rules, the government are now saying they can shut your business down for 48 hours while they investigate. And then, of course, if they find you've done that, you could be in big trouble. The bill, which also allows for the removal of trading licences for certain establishments, such as takeaways, pubs and off-licences, consideration is being given to extending this power to cover minicab drivers and operators. The maximum prison sentence for employers found guilty of knowingly employing illegal workers will be raised from 2 to 5 years. And the existing evidence requirement to prove this offence will be changed in order to boost the amount of prosecutions. Finally, the illegal workers will themselves face up to 6 months in prison and or unlimited fine or their wages being seized as a proceed of crime for committing a new criminal offence of illegal working in England and Wales. Blimey.
Yeah, well,
there's a crackdown going on, basically, yeah. I think, is the message there.
Well, and also, let's not think of the illegal immigrants as well. Some of the conditions that they're living in, you know.
Absolutely.
Crammed into sheds and all sorts.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, about protecting them as well. Oh,
it's totally about protecting those, although they are now going to dish out some stuff to them as well. Mm. It is, and it's about protecting all workers' rights, and quite rightly too. Don't do it. Absolutely do not do it.
We've got the carrier bag charges coming in. As you know, it came from yesterday, the 5th of October. All organisations with 250 employees or more who sell and deliver goods in England will be required to charge a minimum of 5p per qualifying plastic bag used for carrying certain types of goods. I work this out. I use 14, minimum 14 carrier bags a week.
And that's just for lunch?
For my juicer. I put it in to catch the pulp and then I take it to the compost. So I use a carrier bag. So that's going to cost me, what's 5 14s quickly? Anyone?
Anyone know an accountant?
Yeah.
70.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it all mounts up, doesn't it, Jane? So the order is that the charge of 5p, this is from the Federation of Small Businesses info here, the charge of 5p applies to any unused single-use carrier bag made of lightweight plastic material with handles. Lightweight plastic material includes various polymers of a maximum thickness of 0.0%. There are exemptions from the top of my head. If you have a chicken, raw meat and poultry, and potatoes, mm-hmm. I believe. So it's I should be buying lots of raw meat and potatoes. So I do use a bag for life, but I also need carrier bags. Even if you're going swimming, wet cozzy,
yeah.
You put it in a carrier bag, don't you? It's sort of, mm-hmm. maybe I'll
But there's nothing stopping you using the carrier bags. Yeah, you've got to buy them and then use them properly. What we did with them before was we used them and then used them as bin liners, mm-hmm. or just chuck them away. And there's been a lot of controversy. I'm not going to get involved in it because they haven't thought through all of this, as always.
Mm.
I happen to know, and this may be an urban myth and I need to check it out, but in Australia, for instance, they incinerate carrier bags to generate energy. Whereas here we put it in landfill, and that's the problem.
But I thought a lot of them were recyclable anyway, carrier bags.
There are some biodegradable ones.
Yeah.
The trouble with that is your shopping falls out of them because they're too
weak. Yeah, they're so thin.
Yeah. So basically, all the government are trying to get you to do is stop wasting carrier bags.
Well, I don't waste them. I use them.
Well, that's fine, but you've got to pay 5p for them every time.
I know.
So that's all they're asking you to do is to not fill up landfill with plastic bags you don't need. If you go shopping, take a shopping bag with you. It's that simple. It's not really
Perhaps
rocket science.
The next thing they need to work on is not leaving people idling their motors in cars, because I see that all the time where I live. People just sit there for about an hour sometimes with their engine running. I'm on the seafront, beautiful, you know, beautiful seafront, sea air, and they're sitting in their car, they're too fat to waddle to the bench even, eating their whatever they're having, McDonald's and things. And then they keep the engine running and then they toss the McDonald's out onto the road in an area of complete beauty and motor off.
Yeah.
So that's my next rampage.
Thank you. Clean it up.
But,
back to FSB News.
Bags.
Onerous new rules regarding smoke and carbon monoxide alarms in the private rented sector came into force on 1st of October.
Interesting.
The Smoke and Carbon Monoxide Alarm England Regulation 2015. Will come into force in England only as of the 1st of October. The aim is to reduce the number of injuries or deaths from smoke or carbon monoxide poisoning in the private rented sector. Now, there's a load of information here about that. I'm not going to read it out because it's only relevant to those people that are provided private rented accommodation, and not all of those. So what you need to do is go to the website, which is fsblegalinfo.org.uk, and you can check whether, one, it affects you and your business, and if it does, what the new regulations are. So do go and have a look at that.
Well, pretty crucial to have a carbon monoxide detector.
It is indeed.
In any house.
It is indeed.
Significant change to debt relief orders. From 1st of October, the insolvency proceedings, the monetary limits amendment order, increases the maximum amount of debt that can be covered under a debt relief order, known as a DRO, from 15,000 to 20,000, and this will mean that more people in a greater amount of debt will be eligible for DROs, and also increases the minimum asset limit from 300 to 1,000. And again, this means that more people with greater amounts of capital assets will be eligible for DROs. And the DROs act as an alternative to bankruptcy in certain circumstances. So, again, you can find out more on www.fsblegalinfo.org.uk. And, of course, Paul Andrews has a link on kentbusinessradio.com. www.nationalminimumwage.co.uk.
I do indeed. As of the 1st of October, the new National Minimum Wage Amendment regulations come into force, and they increase the various national minimum wage rates as follows. The adult rate for workers who are aged 21 and over will increase from £6.50 to £6.70 per hour. The youth development rate for 18 to 20-year-olds will increase from £5.13 to £5.30 per hour. The young workers rate for 16 and 17-year-olds who are above compulsory school age will increase from £3.79 to £3.87 per hour. The apprentice rate, which applies to all apprentices in year one of an apprenticeship and 16 to 18-year-old apprentices in any year of an apprenticeship, will increase from £2.73 to £3.30 per hour. The accommodation offset limit will increase from £5.08 to £5.35 per day. The Deregulation Act 2015 will repeal some of the Section 124 of the Equality Act 2010 to remove employment tribunals' power to make wider recommendations that may benefit others and not just the claimant personally in discrimination cases. And also coming into force is a smoke-free private vehicles regulation comes into force that bans smoking in private vehicles while carrying a child under 18. I wonder if children under 18 are prohibited from smoking as well.
Well, it'll be interesting because, you know, COPD affects so many people, and passive smoking mm-hmm. seems to be almost more dangerous than smoking
Absolutely.
In some ways.
So listen, we're kind of almost at the end of the show. Coming up on channelradio.co.uk later on, we have at 5 o'clock Mr. Craig Avery with the entertainment show, and that is followed by this.
Hey, this is Jamie from the New Potato Show. Join me live every Tuesday from 7 until 9 p.m. on channelradio.co.uk. We'll be exploring the best in new music from around the world, having 18 tracks and two hot potatoes for your listening pleasure. Tune in. Dig up.
New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews on Channel Radio.
And that is immediately followed by...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So that's coming up for the rest of your listening pleasure today. But for the moment, it's been an absolute pleasure to be joined in the Business Bunker show by Linda Marsh, Operations Director of Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, by the lovely Jane Ollis, Managing Director of Rift Accounting. A huge, huge thank you to today's show sponsor, Offex, Order Fulfillment Experts. You've been listening to me, Paul, and her, Jules, on the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. We will be back with a show for you next week. Have a fabulous week, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews and the Kent Business Bunker on Channel Radio.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
They were pretty smart, but you got being right down to an art. You think you're a genius, you drive me up the wall. You're a regular original, know-it-all.
And he's so, quite Terry. Slim. He's got snake hips.
Yeah, he Terry. Has. Yeah. So thank you for that, Terry.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. Terry. Well, if he's listening, I'm just about to get a little key holder put in by my elderly mum's house, so that if something happens to her, she's fitted with a lifeline bracelet, or council have, so she can stab a bracelet and then the ambulance...